Hello and welcome. This is Bob Proctor with lesson number 9 from your Lead the Field program. It's the one everyone thinks about, hardly anyone wants to talk about. Let's talk about money. Earl Nightingale pointed out that men and women have been concerned about money since the first coin was fashioned in Asia Minor about 700 BC. You might say that money is like good health, and that we are concerned about it to the extent that we don't have it. The purpose of this message is to get down to basics, to clear the air surrounding the entire subject of money. To do this, I'm going to have to get absolutely elementary. And while you may already know most of the things I'm going to say, I think it's important that we remind ourselves just exactly what money is, how much of it is enough, and how to earn the amount of money you need to live the way you want to live, now and in the important future years. To begin, let's get rid of the old myth, once and for all, that money is bad or unimportant. It's not bad, and it is important, vitally important. It's just as important as the food and clothes it buys, the shelter it affords, the education it provides, and the doctor's bills it pays. Money is important to any person living in a civilized society. To argue and split hairs to the effect that it is not as important as other things is absurd. Nothing will take the place of money in the area in which money works. That's all there is to it. What is money? Money is the harvest of our production. Money is what we receive for our production and service as persons, and which we can then use to obtain the production and service of others. We can quite often accurately gauge the extent of our production and service by simply counting the amount of money we receive for it. You'll hear people say, money won't bring happiness. The earning and possession of money has brought a lot more happiness than has poverty. Money is a warm home, healthy children. It's birthday presents and a college education. It's a trip abroad and the means to help older people and the less fortunate. We're not saying that piling up a lot of money is important. What we are saying is that money is important because it's the only reward which is completely negotiable and can be used by everyone. Look at it this way. A diamond is more valuable than a lump of coal. Yet that's exactly what a diamond was at one time. And just as a lump of coal can be transformed into one of the world's most valuable objects, a human being can vastly increase their own value to the world. This is a subject that I've truly enjoyed working with for many years now. I'm sure you will as well. It not only affects every area of your life, it is a subject you're going to enjoy sharing with others. The information on money that I have gathered and shared has helped many people become millionaires, and thousands of people around the world are earning hundreds of thousands of dollars more because of what I have been able to teach them about this subject. The subject of money has truly fascinated me for a long time. Surprisingly, you're going to find, if you have not already, that you could actually look all day, possibly even all month, and not find anyone who really understands how to earn money. Now, you may at first think this is a grossly exaggerated statement. However, the more you're involved with this subject, the more you'll realize it's not. 1% of our population earns approximately 96% of all the money that is being earned. You can go right through our educational system and not learn one thing about earning money. Almost everything that you and I have been taught about money as we grew up was incorrect. The masses operate under the false assumption that because the vast majority of people go to work and earn an income, they know how to earn money. The truth is, they're grinding out a living. They are following a strategy for earning money that will not permit them to accumulate any amount of wealth and live the good life at the same time. The reason there are so many poor old people is because there are a lot of poor young people who grow old and never learn the truth about money. When I was growing up, I was left with the impression that if you were going to earn a lot of money, you had to be really bright, well-educated, and lucky. The truth is that earning money does not necessarily have anything to do with age, gender, geography, formal education, background, or business experience. If you want to earn a lot of money, there is one simple prerequisite. You must make a decision that you are going to earn a lot of money. Once that decision is made, you will then, very likely, follow a strategy that you follow when you've made a decision to do anything else that you didn't know how to do. You would go to someone who has demonstrated by results that they know how to earn money, and you would follow their instructions. The earning of money is an exact science. Earl Nightingale gives us the formula. Listen. Try to remember this formula. The amount of money we receive will always be in direct ratio to the demand for what we do, our ability to do it, and the difficulty of replacing us. A highly skilled human being is worth more money in our economy than a person who is not highly skilled and who can be easily replaced. This is not to say that one person is any better than any other person. Remember that in this message, we're only talking about money, nothing else. An elevator operator is just as important as a human being as a brain surgeon, but the amount of money they will earn will be proportional to the demand for what they do, their ability to do what they do, and the difficulty of replacing them. A person can be trained to operate an elevator in a half hour and can be replaced at any time by virtually anyone, or even by an automatic elevator. The brain surgeon spent many years learning their profession, often at great personal sacrifice and at a high cost, and he or she cannot be easily replaced. As a result, the surgeon might earn as much money in an hour as the elevator operator might earn in a year. Now, these are extreme cases used to show the relation of income to demand, skill, and supply. And this is as it should be. This is why there are few limitations on a person within their company and industry. Their income will be in exact proportion to the demand for what they do, their ability to do what they do, and the difficulty of replacing them. That's why the whole idea of trying to get something for nothing is ridiculous and won't work. A top jockey will earn hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, which will represent 10% of the winnings of the horses that jockey rides. You might say riding a horse serves no purpose, but the demand is there, useful or not. It's the same with the star in show business. Their income will very accurately reflect the demand for what they do. That's why preparation for life is so important. Luck has been defined as what happens when preparedness meets opportunity. A great opportunity will only make the unprepared, the unqualified, appear ridiculous. For every one of us, opportunities are all around us. Our ability to see them will depend in large part on how well we have prepared ourselves. Now, how well do you stack up in this regard? Now, while this may sound elementary, you'd be amazed at the number of people who want more money but don't want to take the time and the trouble to qualify for it. And until they qualify for it, there is no way on earth for them to earn it. It's like the person who wants a good-looking figure but doesn't want to stay on a diet long enough to get it. To 9/10 of the world's population, the average North American is already rich. There's a greater difference between the standard of living of most of the world's population and our average worker than there is between the standard enjoyed by our average worker and the richest people in the country. Our working person has just about everything the wealthiest person has, only smaller. They have a home, car, often two of them, radio, TV, savings accounts, debts. They're just smaller. Their food is as good and just as plentiful. Their bed is just as comfortable. Their home is just as warm in the winter. They have exactly the same amount of time and just as much, maybe more freedom. Their life expectancy at birth is 70 years. For the rest of the world, on the average, it's less than 40. With only a fraction of the world's population, we in the free world have half of the world's total money income. We have more than two-thirds of the automobiles on earth. So, in talking about money, let's understand that we're already rich as a people. Now, how much do you want? How much money do you need to live the way you want to live, to accomplish the goals that you have established for yourself? Most people think they want more money than they really do and settle for a lot less than they could earn if they went about it the right way. All right, at this point, I'm going to ask you to sit back, relax, and let your mind flow freely. You know, a Spanish distiller one time said that good life is expensive. There's another way to live that doesn't cost as much, but it isn't any good. I like that. Now, realize that fantasy is the first phase of creating anything. I want you, right now, I want you to imagine that you have just turned your annual income into a monthly income. Now, when you've got that figure straight in your mind, begin to mentally play with this idea. Now, this is not going to be a windfall that just comes in once. Every month, you're going to receive this new increased amount. And in fact, it's going to begin to grow. Now, I'm going to ask you to pause here, take a sheet of paper, write down what your annual income is, multiply it by 12, and this is your new annual income. Now, start to fantasize. This being your new annual income, what changes would you make in your life? I want to ask you to document them on a sheet of paper. Actually do this. It can be a lot of fun, and it's very transformational. Now, hopefully, you have an idea of how you will live when you're earning 12 times what you're presently earning. And get this, you're quite capable of earning a lot more than that. Let's look again at Earl Nightingale's words. The world will pay you exactly what you bargain for, exactly what you earn, and not a penny more. Do you remember the poem that goes, I bargained for life with a penny, and life would pay no more? Well, that's about it. We will receive not what we idly wish for, but what we justly earn. Our rewards will always be in exact proportion to our service. If you don't like your income, you must devise ways and means of increasing your service. And this is an individual thing. No one can do it for you, although you can get ideas from others. Your service must come out of you, your mind, your ability, and your energy. A strong person cannot make a weak person strong, but a weak person can become strong on their own by following a specific course of action for a sufficient length of time. And a person who's already strong can become a lot stronger. It's the same with this business of money. A person who refuses to do more than they're being paid for will seldom be paid for more than they're doing. You may have heard someone say, why should I knock myself out for the money I'm getting? Now, it's this attitude which, more than anything else, keeps a person at the bottom of the economic pile. This person doesn't understand that only as we grow in value as persons, we will receive the increased income we seek. If we try to stand still in our work, and millions do, we'll never know the rewards nor the joy of accomplishment and the personal satisfaction and peace of mind which come only to the person of unusual accomplishment. There are two distinct steps we must take. First, we must decide how much money we really want. I'll never forget the first time I heard Earl Nightingale ask me that question. It literally changed the direction of my life, and it'll change yours. It's at this point we must really pay attention to Earl Nightingale's words. He is directing us that we must make a decision on an amount of money, and that decision is not what we think we can earn, but what we want. There's an enormous difference. There's an ABC approach to this. A being what you know you can earn, B what you think you can earn, and C, what Earl's talking about, what you want to earn. I would like to suggest that you come along with me as we take a look at one at a time. Let's take a look at the A group, what I know I can earn. The more familiar you become with the subject of earning money, the more apparent it will become that the masses are stuck in the A group. It has really never occurred to them that they control what they earn. They very likely grew up in an environment where their parents or guardians lived with the A group and had someone else deciding how much they would be paid. And to compound the problem, most people in the A group gravitate toward and associate with other people in the A group. If they ever hear anyone talking about great increases in income, it is usually wishful thinking that is verbalized but not seriously thought about. If they change jobs, they will generally seek a new position where their income is in the same bracket. They may hope they get a few dollars more with their new position, but will frequently settle for a few less. It is sad but true that some people spend their whole life in the A group, and our educational system is doing absolutely nothing to change that. Now let's take a look at the B group. What I think I can earn. Periodically, an individual will attempt to break away from the A group. They aspire to a better lifestyle than that which they have. They rarely, if ever, seek advice on how they could earn more. Their income remains a very private matter, and if they talk to anyone, it's probably just their spouse, who very likely doesn't know any more about earning money than they do. They begin to think, how could I earn more? And they begin moving toward what they think they can earn. Their thinking is influenced to an enormous degree by their old paradigm, so limitations keep popping up in their mind. They spend more time thinking of why they can't earn it than how they will. They begin to think possibly another job, a better job, maybe an extra part-time work. Sometimes they end up with two or three jobs. The old paradigm is locked into the idea of try harder, and although they experience an increase in their income, it definitely has a ceiling. Now let's move to the group that Earl Nightingale was suggesting we all belong to, the C group. What I want to earn. The C group is very small. It's a small, select group of individuals who live in an interesting world. Anyone can join it. There's always room for new members. It requires no one's permission, and on occasion, you'll find individuals who go directly from the A group to the C group. In retrospect, individuals who make this change will tell you it was a simple change, that there's a very fine line which separates the one group from the other. However, at the time the change is being made, it can become one of the scariest situations a person will ever experience. It requires a total paradigm shift. To go there, you have to think outside the box, live with brand new rules, follow a totally different strategy. People in this group are generally in the habit of always seeking more information and developing greater expertise. If a person is not in this group but wants to move into it, their best advice is to seek out counsel from an individual or individuals who obviously operate on this level. Again, the only prerequisite for earning the amount of money you want is a decision. Once the decision is made and the advice sought, the way will be clear. That's it. That's all there is to it. Now, as Earl Nightingale points out, once this decision is made, the second step is to forget the money and concentrate on improving what we now do until we've grown to the size that will fit and naturally earn the income we seek. Once we're fully qualified for the amount of money we decide to earn, we'll soon find ourselves earning it. And we will also discover that with our new powers and abilities, it's no more difficult, perhaps even less difficult, than what we're now doing for the money we're now earning. Now ask yourself, how much money am I perfectly willing to earn? Realizing that the amount I earn will be in exact proportion to my skills, the demand for what I do, and the difficulty of replacing me. There are only three amounts of money every person should decide upon. Number one, the yearly income one wants to earn now or in the near future. Two, the amount of money one wants to have in a savings or an investment account. And number three, the amount of money one wants as a retirement income, whether one ever retires from work or not. Now, it's here that most people make a very serious mistake. They never decide on any of these three amounts of money. The real truth is that most people make very few decisions of any kind. Decision is another subject that is not taught in school. Napoleon Hill stated that it was the missing link in all systems of education known to civilization. He said indecision is a habit which usually begins in youth. The habit takes on permanency as the youth goes through grade school, high school, and eventually through college. Dr. Carol Hildebrand is a noted periodontist with a master's degree in education, a brilliant lady, and a truly nice person. She wrote something that should be carved in granite at the entrance of every school in the country. Listen carefully. There is a corollary element that must go hand in hand with decision, and that is commitment. It must be a committed decision. Most of us have weak decision-making muscles. We do not even recognize what it means to make a real decision. We fail to realize the force of change a truly congruent, committed decision makes. Part of our problem is that we use the term decision so loosely that it has come to describe our wishes, not our commitments. Instead of making decisions, we state our preferences. The word decision comes from the Latin roots de, meaning from, and caedere, meaning to cut. Therefore, a decision means cutting from any other possibility. A true decision, then, means you are committed to achieving a result and then cutting yourself off from any other possibility. Committed decisions show up in two places, your calendar and your checkbook. No matter what you say you value or even think your priorities are, you have only to look at last year's calendar and checkbook to see the decisions you have made about what you truly value. For example, I am committed to growth, both professionally and personally. A review of my calendar always shows multiple continuing education courses, seminars, and workshops in both the personal growth area as well as in my profession. She went on to point out, my checkbook is filled with tuition disbursements, purchases of books, and videos. Look at the bottom line. See how you've reserved your time. Look at your expenditures. Those are the roadmaps to the decisions you have made in the past. And Dr. Hildebrand concluded by saying, after making a true decision, especially the tough ones, we usually feel a tremendous burden has been lifted from our shoulders. I don't know about you, but I believe what Carol Hildebrand has shared with us is rich with truth. Now, Earl Nightingale said, if you will decide on these three amounts, and if you will write them on a card and carry them with you, or put someplace where you can review them from time to time, you will automatically have placed yourself in the top 3% of the people. You will have a plan for your future, a blueprint for future financial accomplishment. You'll know where you're going, and if you're serious about it, you will most certainly get there. You see, the trouble with people is not in achieving their goals. They can do that. It's not setting their goals that people get into trouble. They leave it to chance and find out sooner or later, and to their sorrow, that chance doesn't work, that they've missed the boat. It's estimated that only 3% decide on the money they'll earn and then grow as persons into the size of the incomes they seek. They thus take their lives, their fortunes, and their futures into their own hands as they should, and accomplish their goals right on schedule. All the years of their life, you can do the same thing, and you can do it starting right now. There are two kinds of people where money is concerned. There are the majority who cut back on their wants to fit their incomes, and there are those free spirits in the minority who make the incomes fit their wants. Now, which is best for you? You must decide. Ben Franklin gave us the secret to wealth. He said the road to wealth lies in augmenting our means or diminishing our wants. Either will do. But the quickest way to wealth is to do both at the same time. You know, this is such phenomenal advice. It is so basic and so simple, and most people miss it. Since getting into the Lead the Field program years ago, I have found out that there are only three strategies for earning money. I refer to them as M1, M2, and M3. The M1 strategy is trading time for money. This strategy actually turns into a trap for 96% of the population. To follow it is part of our paradigm. It's the strategy most people observed as they were growing up. It's the one that's taught in school. And as far as becoming wealthy is concerned, it will not work. If an individual is able to save any money for the latter years of their life while they're following this strategy, it's at the expense of a life. They compromise on virtually everything that costs money: cars, clothes, vacations, etc., etc., etc. This strategy has an inherent problem. It's called saturation. We run out of time. Everyone gets the same amount of time. We get all there is. It's what we do with it which determines our quality of life. Doctors, lawyers, accountants, airline pilots, engineers, architects, laborers, waiters, waitresses, almost everyone you can think of follows this strategy. And unfortunately, it does not work. Now, the M2 strategy works. That's where you invest money to earn money. It's an excellent way to earn passive income, although there are very few people who do it. 3% of the population, and not all of them do it well, although some do it very well. To develop expertise in this area requires time, interest, and good counsel. Otherwise, it is recommended that you seek out someone who has developed expertise in this area, has an excellent record over a long period of time, and then follow their advice. Investing money to earn money. Now, this brings us to the number three strategy, MSI technology. This is by far the best strategy that has ever been devised for earning money, and it has been used by wealthy people right back to the ancient Babylonians. It's where you multiply your time through the efforts of others by setting up multiple sources of income. You can have as many sources of income as you want. This is sometimes referred to as mailbox money. If you approach this strategy properly and study it continually, it can be a lot of fun. It's extremely interesting and very lucrative. In the old economy, if you wanted to have multiple sources of income, you had to have a great idea and a fair amount of money in order to take your idea to market and properly promote it. That is not true in the new economy. Through network marketing, a person can set up multiple sources of income with very small investment. It would appear as if network marketing is the distribution system that's ushering in the new economy. More and more professionals are being attracted to this strategy for earning income. When it is approached properly, it has the potential to give an individual the opportunity to enjoy a well-balanced life. Now, this leads me to what constitutes a balanced life. A person is living a balanced life when they are spending their days doing what they love to do, and at the same time, they earn the amount of money they need to provide the things they want to live the way they choose. I'm of the opinion that working is the worst way to earn money. However, working was never meant for earning money. We go to work for satisfaction. We provide service of value for earning money. Earl said, "Now, when you write down the yearly income you mean to earn, you no doubt know whether or not it's average for the work you're in or above average. The chances are good that the figure you will decide upon will be above average, perhaps quite a bit above average, and that's good. Now ask yourself, who in my line of work is now earning that kind of money? If you know, you have a good idea of what you have to do in order to earn it." Now this is exactly how men and women move from the ranks into positions of top authority with corresponding incomes. I have no way of knowing your line of business. Regardless of the business you're in, it needs new leaders, men and women, to come up in the years ahead. Everything is expanding, getting larger, and with the increase in size and scope, the most desperate need is for the dedicated, able person who can learn to lead the field, and to lead others as well. Some of the top executives in the nation today were once accountants, shipping clerks, struggling lawyers, service station attendants, salespeople, far out in remote territories, sales clerks, mailroom clerks, mechanics. You cannot think of a position from which people have not climbed to the top. Understand what I am going to say, and it will bring you and yours everything you want. It's not the job, it's the person. It's not your present circumstance which count, but the circumstances you make up your mind to achieve that are important. The only limit on your income is you, and the income you decide upon can be achieved within the framework of your present work, industry, or profession where you already have a start and a place. All you need is the plan, the roadmap, the courage to press on to your destination, knowing in advance that there will be problems and setbacks, but knowing also that nothing on earth can stand in the way of a plan backed by persistence and determination. With the income written down that you intend to earn, spend a part of every day thinking of ways in which you can increase your service, knowing that you have only to manage this and the income will take care of itself. Since the amount of money you want to earn is more than you're now receiving, your part of the bargain is to find ways of increasing your service until the gap has been bridged, and more than bridged. Look at your card with the three amounts written on it. By setting a financial goal, you are demonstrating faith. You will find that you'll begin to become what others call lucky. You'll begin to get good hunches and ideas. You'll take far more interest in everything about your work and your company. You'll see opportunities in your work and environment you've never noticed before. In fact, you'll soon discover you're no longer the same person. You'll care less about how others are doing their job and concern yourself more with the manner in which you do yours. By your example, you'll inspire others to do their jobs better. Have faith in yourself and the quiet, firm inner knowledge that you can and will accomplish your goals. Know the answers you seek will come to you and in their time if you only keep looking for them. Above all, realize that money cannot be sought directly. Money, like happiness, is an effect. It's the result of a cause, and the cause is valuable service. Keep money in its proper place. It's a servant, nothing more. It's a tool with which we can live better, see more of the world, give our youngsters the education they need, and a good start in life. It's the means to a happy, carefree retirement in later years. Money is necessary to modern life, but keep it in its place. You need only so much food to enjoy good health. You need only so much money to live comfortably, securely, and well. Too much emphasis on money reverses the whole picture. You then become the servant, and money becomes the master. As Horace Latimer put it, it's good to have money and the things money can buy, but it's good, too, to check up once in a while and make sure that you haven't lost the things that money can't buy. Every person should know happiness in their work and home and prosperity. These things can and should be yours. Now play this message as often as you can during the week. Fix your plans firmly in your mind and relax. Keep cool and calm. Be as serene as you possibly can. You have nothing to worry about. Right now, you may have no idea at all how the additional income you seek is going to come to you, nor how you're going to save the amount you want in your savings account, or how you could possibly arrange for the retirement income you've decided upon. That isn't important. Remember, the only real important thing is that you know what you want. If you do, you will become, you must become, what you think about. Be realistic about your financial goals, for as you reach them, you can then set higher goals. Trying to jump too far too soon can often result in confusion, tenseness, and worry. Take your growth in sensible, logical steps, remembering that the big thing is that you know what you want and that you realize your rewards will match your service. That is, that you must devise ways and means of actually becoming the person who is worth the amount of money you have established for yourself. A person may be worth more than they're getting for a while, but the two will match up. They have to. In fact, until a person is worth more than they're now receiving, They cannot move ahead. They're receiving all their worth. It all gets back to the great law that controls everything in the universe, cause and effect. The cause must precede the effect, or the effect cannot occur. That is why people who try to get something for nothing are only fooling themselves and earning the disillusionment and frustration they must one day reap. You can have what you want. You need only make up your mind. Well, that's it. Now, here's what I want to suggest. I want to suggest that you sit down, take a blank sheet of paper, and do as we mentioned in your management guide. This is the amount of money I want to earn. Write it on a piece of paper. Make certain the figure you put on paper represents the amount of money you need to provide the things you want to live the way you choose. Don't be shy, and don't let the figure scare you. Remember, it does not have to come from one place, although everything does come from one source. There is only one source of supply. You can establish as many multiple sources of income as you choose. MSIs do not necessarily call for you to work, although they might. They will very likely require you to think. Make a commitment to yourself that over the next 1 or 2 years, you will develop a certain number of MSIs. Use the graphic Wheel of Fortune that's in your management guide as a model for setting up new MSIs. We've given you space there for 15. You could have 30 or 45 or 145 if you want. When you've got it written down, put on paper, my signature is my commitment, that between now and put the date in, I will establish, put the number of MSIs in, then put your date and the signature on the paper. Put it where you can see it often. I guarantee you, it'll tantalize your mind until your dream manifests in physical form. That's the way it works. It worked for me. It's worked for thousands of people. It'll work for you. This is Bob Proctor. Thank you.